Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grace Fellowship Church this morning. We're going to invite you to stand, and we're going to worship the Almighty God together, the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to lift Him up, and we're going to worship Him together this morning.
So much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. You would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Orphan, a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shine like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
Grace. Amen.
Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will. I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now. In the this King would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me. Know his love for me. Oh, his love for me. The sun sets free. He's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last. He's ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. The sun sets free, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Forsaken, I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Do it again.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. The Father's free, free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, so please. Child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Mom, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
I am.
I am who you say I am. Child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
All God's people said,
to their Sunday school class, and all the rest of you introverts included, turn around and say hello to someone. Feel free to mingle about the room. Okay, everybody, I'd like to ask you to return to your seats. So good to see you. You know it's summertime when our worship band has more percussionists than singers. So I'd like to thank the worship band today. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Jonathan. Summertime, we are here, we are there, we are everywhere. Sometimes we're like, I haven't seen you in 3 weeks, and it's because we've been gone. So I'm so glad that you guys are here. If you're new or you're visiting, you are so very welcome. We have Connect cards in the seat pockets in front of you. You could fill one of those out and bring it to the welcome counter. That's in the lobby when you're leaving today. That's on the right-hand side. We just have a small gift for you just to welcome you and thank you for joining us this morning. So feel free to fill that out. Okay, so arguably, most of us are jealous if you're under the age of 55. We talk about this every few months or so. Primetimers have the best parties. They have the best events. You don't want to miss this summer. Next Saturday is the last summer Primetimers event, and they are doing South Pacific. So if you're not familiar with this, if you're over the age of 55, they do wonderful luncheons. The theme this year is musicals, so you don't want to miss this. I heard Jerry Cook might be in a whole hula costume. I can say that because he's not here this morning. So it's going to be wonderful. You can sign up with Miss Georgia in the back today when you're leaving out the door. She's just right on the right-hand side. You can sign up for the Primetimers luncheon. I also want to remind you that we're also having our evening in the parks. These are three Sunday evenings, one in July, one in August, and one in September. In July, we had the ice cream making contest, which was so much fun. August is going to be our pie baking contest and our cornhole tournament. So it's beautiful down in Sutter Creek. It's not as hot as it is elsewhere because they have the creek. It's just so much fun. We provide hot dogs and drinks, and if you want to attend, you don't have to sign up. Just bring a side dish to share and make a pie. Put it in the contest. This is a well-attended contest. Everybody likes to make some sort of a pie. There is a refrigerator, so if you want to bake a pie that needs to be refrigerated, like a whatever, I don't even know. I'm blanking on what they're called. So you can make any kind of pie, and you can bring it on that. It's actually next week from 5 to 7. Let's see, what else? Oh, we also do a newsletter at church every single month. So we have all the different ministries can contribute. You can contribute something if you'd like to include it in our newsletter. It's just keeping up to date with what's going on. There's birthdays in the back. There's a lot of August birthdays. Someone might have a birthday in August. So, and she might be birthday buddies with someone in the back named Jeff Cranfill. So every year on my birthday, I enjoy getting a text message from Jeff Cranfill. Happy birthday, birthday buddy. So you can check that out in our newsletter. Andrea, this month has included a full-size calendar. So feel free to cut that out. Put it right on your refrigerator just to remember all the things happening. And we're excited for you guys to participate with everything we have here at Grace. Everything happens here at Grace, obviously, because of your generous gifting. There are three ways that you can give at Grace. That's digitally on our app, through the mail, or the box in the back. I just want to thank you for however you choose to give so humbly. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you just bless those who are here this morning, those who are far and away on vacations and trips, just reconnecting with family, spending beautiful time in your creation, Lord, with each other. Would you protect them and bring them back safely to us? Would you go be with the, would you put your spirit with the children and the teachers in our hallway where they, the teachers are just so diligent in loving on your children, letting them know that they are loved, that they are worthy because you have made them worthy. Would you bless Pastor Matthew when he comes, Lord? Give him clear mind. Help him say the words that you have pressed upon his heart this morning. We love you. We love your church here, globally, locally, everywhere. Would you fill us with unity this morning that we might know and love you and be light? In your name, amen.
If you are so inclined, go ahead and feel free to stand one more time. All remain standing, and I'm going to invite Richard Cavallari to come on up.
Good morning, Grace. Thank you for standing for God's word this morning. We're going to be reading out of three different parts of the Bible today, Leviticus 11, Matthew 5, and 1 Peter, that all relate. So I will begin with saying, God says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves along the ground. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of the life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You may be seated.
Oh, grace. I need grace this morning. So my name is Matthew. I've been a member here at Grace since we moved here 6 years ago, right around this time. And it's my privilege at times to share with you all, to bring a message. And it's a blessing to be here this morning with you all. I'm excited. Are you all excited? All right. Good. So let's see here. Are we started? There we go. So good morning.
Good morning.
This picture is from Hawaii. We spent some time there this summer. It was a blessing. I actually went over there for work with my family. I don't know, that's so hard, huh, to go to Hawaii for work. I know, it's terrible. But a little enjoyment, too, is a blessing. But we're glad to be back. We were gone for a bit. We're really glad to be back. Though, when I'm here at Grace, let me get this on here. Here we go. All right, so today is a new day. You can see those of you who have been to a sunrise service. Right there is the fire as the sun was rising, and usually we get there before the sun rises, actually rises over the trees. And I know I'm at Grace when it's 100 degrees outside. I'm not in Hawaii when it's 80 degrees outside, and I'm wearing shorts to church. So those of you who are wearing shorts to church today, thank you. Because I feel a little bit like a little closer to Hawaii if you're wearing shorts to church. Which that's what they do there. So I know I'm in Amador County. This is a new day, right? I'm not in Hawaii anymore. I'm in Amador County when I'm wearing pants and it's 100 degrees outside. Okay. So, but today is a new day. And so with every new day, I want to invite us into what this day has for us and what this morning, this message has for us today. And I want to invite you with a question. And so where is your heart this morning as we start? We've been in this service, and as you're opening to this message today, you might have not paid attention. Though if you're an early riser like me, a lot of times I spend time like paying attention. Where am I this morning? I'm waking up out of sleep, and what's going on in my heart? Where am I? You know, you may have asked that question, may not, but I want to invite you to this morning to ask that question. Where is my heart this morning? Where's my heart? How am I doing this morning coming into this time? That really matters because we know from what Jesus said that where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So whatever's really, really important to you this morning, that's where your attention probably has been. That's where you've been focused this morning. And I want to invite you this morning into this unique focus on this. Like, what if the absolute most important thing that you could focus on this morning was this, who you are in Christ. Now, if you don't believe in Jesus this morning, this is an invitation to think about that. Because we believe here at Grace, there's some real results. When you believe in Jesus, and in a sense you are in him by belief and by experience, his spirit is in you, with you, around you, for you, that changes your life. And so amen? Did I hear that? All right, thank you. Amen, that changes your life. And so here at Grace, we believe this matters. In fact, what if we all like totally believed that being in Christ was the most important thing every single day? What might happen? It would probably be pretty radical, wouldn't it? Be amazing. We'd have an amazing experience, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit of Christ with us always. But we all know, like, okay, this is, we believe, and yet, Lord help our unbelief, right? We all know that it's easy to think about money or think about people who we care about. I wasn't here if like the passing of loved ones, like beloved Pat Reese, who's been a part of Grace for a long time. You know, we think about other things a lot, and that's appropriate. We're human. We think about human things in this world. And yet, how often do those things kind of become what's more significant? And they kind of steal us away, our hearts, because where our treasure is, what's really important is where our hearts are. And so I want to pose that question and think about it. What if being in Christ was actually the number one thing? It was always on your heart. It was the most treasured thing in your life because it made such a difference. What might that be like? So I kind of want to inspire us, in a sense, to that end today. What would that be like? Now, today's message is about this. It's about becoming holy in Christ. Okay, it's about becoming holy in Christ. Now, this message is actually the fourth part of a long, year-long series that started last summer about this time. You remember when I started talking about the way of the heart in Christ? And some of you who are here, I shared a story about how my heart got like shocked. I saw an image of something related to my sister and brother's passing, or I saw a video related to that, and it just like shocked my heart, and it threw me into this tailspin. And I've never had heart issues, like physical heart issues, but it made me think about the heart a lot, how important the heart is. So this morning, I want this to be the focus of our time, becoming holy in Christ. And so let me just say a prayer to invite the Lord to speak to each of us specifically this morning around this end. Okay, so pray with me. Lord, as real as the seats beneath us, the people right next to us, the sound of the air we hear, which we're thankful for, the AC running, our breath, as real as those things is your presence. That's what we believe, even though sometimes you hide from us and sometimes our hearts are just so distracted. Lord, you're here. We believe you're here. Help our unbelief. And would you, through your Spirit, speak to us this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So like I was saying, this message is the fourth part of a year-long series, which I was hoping to actually wrap this series up, at least as I'm speaking. I think this is the fourth time in this calendar year that I'm giving a message here. I was actually hoping to share this message in early spring. But, you know, Pastor Mark, he wasn't letting me do that. So if you guys can tell him, like, hey, if Matthew's doing a series, can you not wait so long to get him back up here? I was trying. He kept saying no. And I am joking a little bit, but it just didn't work out for it to happen. So I'm really glad to bring you this fourth part of this series today. There'll be a little review for those of you who are new here. You've never been here. You have no idea what I'm talking about. I'll review so you can kind of get it a little bit. And then we'll move right into our kind of the focus, the core message of today, becoming holy in Christ. So this was it, the way of the heart in Christ. And this guiding truth I spoke about was from this Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And I was basically just saying, hey, your heart is the most important thing about you. You need to care for your heart. And guess what? It is your responsibility. How do you care for your heart? You own it. My heart is my heart, and I need to care for it. If I focus on all these other things, all kinds of things, or if I'm not paying attention to my heart, meaning that the spiritual core of who I am, where my thoughts, feelings, and willings, then my desires, my actions kind of coalesce all there in the heart. It's the Hebrew view of the heart. It's all there. We're not mind and heart. It's not separate. It's all there. It's the core of who we are, the center. Okay? So you need to take responsibility, so do I, for our hearts. So what you put in, you're going to get out. If you're always listening to certain kinds of music or watching certain kinds of things or doing, you know, it matters. Because what you put in is going to come out of your heart. And also, what comes out of the heart reveals a lot of what's already in there. So you and I both need to take responsibility for our hearts. Let's take it really seriously, okay? Fortunately, we don't have to do that alone, because we as followers of Jesus, we believe what? We have the Spirit, which is the Spirit of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who's with us. The Spirit of Christ is with us. Now, Christ, the person who walked on this earth, is he with us in his body? No, he's not. He's with us by his Spirit. His Spirit is with us. And it's a mystery. That's a mystery called the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit. We could talk about that more another day, but his Spirit is with us, so we're not alone. Jesus said when he walked the earth, I will send you my Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. okay? So I don't have to guard my heart on my own. I have the Spirit with me helping me, especially if I'm allowing the Spirit do that. I'm inviting the Spirit, help me, Spirit, to guard my heart, to watch over it, because everything in life flows from it. I need to guard, watch over my heart, the center of who I am as a person, as a human person. And then third, here at Grace, we believe in the Scriptures. That's why every Sunday when we gather together, we turn to the Scriptures. We read the Scriptures, we turn to the Scriptures, we keep coming back to it. The Scriptures here are special revelation to us, the revealing of God in a special way through millennia, through many, 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 many centuries of people who walked with God, followed God. We look to His Scriptures that uniquely point us back to His way, the way of God or the way of the heart in Christ, okay? So we got the Scriptures. Yes. That's why even when you don't feel like you want to be here on Sundays, it's good for you to still show up. Why? Because when you show up here with God's people, the Spirit's going to be, thank you for doing that. Now, hopefully you'll hear something that will stimulate you in your belief in Christ and the walk of faith you're trying to walk out. Thank you for being here. The person sitting next to you is like, I'm so glad you're here. Yes, thank you. Okay, and you hear a message like this from Pastor Mark. We need that. Why? Because our hearts tend to wander, right? Not wander, wander. Our hearts tend to go awry. So we need to keep coming back together. Even when sometimes we're feeling like I'm just tired, I want to do this or that. We need to keep coming back. Why? Because we need to keep hearing from one another and from the message in a place where the Spirit is welcome. We're asking God to show up here. We need to keep hearing messages from Pastor Mark and others like today, okay? We need that. So this is the series, and specifically I talked about three heart insights, or keeping your heart in sight. And I like to be kind of creative with my words, you know, like insight, that's like truth, I like that, keeping your heart in sight, okay? That was really creative, wasn't that? Okay, I thought so too. I'm like, brilliantly creative, Matthew, okay? And that's humble to just speak what's true, right? Just to say what's true, that's humble, actually. It's like, oh, it's so creative. Anyways, but here's what they were. It's three truths, and we're going to focus on the last one, particularly today. We are broken, we are being healed, and we are becoming holy. So if you want to enter into the way of the heart in Christ, you need to keep these insights, these truths in mind. I'm broken. I'm sinful. I'm not as I ought to be. I turn to my heart. All kinds of messy, wayward defenses, denial. I mean, all kinds of things happen into my heart. Like, I need help, okay? Even though I do good sometimes too, and good things flow from me too, I'm very aware that I'm broken. I'm sinful. I'm not as I ought to be. And so I need to turn to God and seek His healing through salvation and then sanctification, which is, sanctification is a big word that just means over time becoming more like God is if He were me. Becoming more like God if He were me. Like Jesus if Jesus was me. Becoming more like Him, more loving, more love, more peace, more joy in the Spirit. Okay? So these are the three insights. Now, if you remember that first heart insight, we are broken, okay? I talked about, I gave an invitation. Like, what if you and I didn't just, when it came to our brokenness, our sin, where we fail, where we make bad decisions, we hurt people, we hurt ourselves, we make bad decisions. You know, what if we were like, I'm going to fly to that. I'm going to fly to those parts of me that are broken, disordered, not as they ought to be. What if we were like that? What if we were like, boom, I'm going to fly. I'm not going to let that have its way with my heart. I'm going to fly to it like this, like an eagle soaring, flying after, you know, whatever it's flying after, you know, salmon or something like that. And I'm kind of hungry. Maybe that's what came to mind. But what if you flew towards your brokenness like an eagle? What if that was the case? What if you did that? When you see brokenness, you didn't just like shy away from it or deny it or like kind of like talk less about it. You were like, nope, that's exactly what that is. I'm flying to my brokenness. like an eagle or like a cheetah after its prey. Which cheetahs, if you know this, they like when they go after their prey, they can't even eat it right away. They went after their prey so hard, they are tired. They just got to be like, I got to rest. Woo! You know? Cheetahs, what if you were like a cheetah or going after its prey? What if you flew after your brokenness, your sin, your disorder, your mess like that? What would that be like in your life? Good question. Or what about this? What if you did this relative to your brokenness?
Get set.
Get up, lad, get up.
I like that part. Get up, lad, get up. You know.
Come on!
You want to see the end of the race, you got to watch the movie, Chariots of Fire. All right, so great movie, great story. You know, not quite as good as Guardians of the Galaxy, but almost, okay? Almost as good. Great story. This is an amazing story about this runner, Eric Little. But what if when we get knocked down or when we're feeling like down and out or whatever, relative to our brokenness, we get back up and we run towards the end to finish that race, to get to that awareness, to just acknowledge it, what it is. What if we ran like that toward our brokenness? We flew to it. We didn't avoid it. All of us do this. All of us avoid. Sometimes we're in denial or we can make less of it when we're messy because it kind of hurts to acknowledge it, honestly. It does when I do. It's like, okay. Whoo, it's hard to fly towards it, but I'm saying it would be good if you did, because it's a hard insight, and it'll benefit your life if you did. Let me get out of here. Okay, there we go. All right. So we need to fly to our brokenness like David did in Psalm 51. When he sinned, he committed adultery. When he sinned, he flew to his brokenness. And we see Psalm 51 as an example of him speaking these amazing words. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned. So I had this little invitation and this kind of creative, fly 51, just like David, Psalm 51. Fly to your brokenness. Have mercy on me, O God. I see my sin, my transgressions, they're always before me. And even David needed help from Nathan, right? He needed help from the prophet to kind of come to his senses. So we need help from one another to come to our senses, right? But when he did, Psalm 51 is a great example of David kind of flying to his brokenness, okay? That's how we need to be, fly 51. Fly to your brokenness. Because there's three really significant barriers to our brokenness we see in Genesis, and it's this, that we're afraid when we realize what we've done, like the story of Adam and Eve, we realize they're afraid, so they hid. And then they felt shame, they felt bad, like I messed up. And so they felt bad and they wanted to cover themselves. The scriptures say they were naked and ashamed. Before that, they were unashamed. Now they're in shame. Bad. Ugh. We all know this experience. We all know how bad it is. But this is the one that really gets us. Pride. Because it's pride that keeps us from flying to our brokenness through fear and shame. We hold on to our pride. We don't humble ourselves like we need to. And therefore, we don't get to where we really want to go. And where we want to go is here. Through actively humbling ourselves towards our brokenness, there's a great result through actively humbling. Because we know that if the scriptures teach. God opposes the proud, but what does he give to the humble? Grace and mercy, unmerited favor, unconditional acceptance. David, God called him a man after God's own heart. He messed up, but he humbled his heart. He came back to God, and God met him right there. So if you fly, I like the progression here. Sorry about that. So if you fly to your brokenness, like the eagle, the cheetah, or like you see in Eric Little Racing, the fruit of that, what's going to happen? Grace. Grace will flow to you like it did in salvation, which all of us, for me, that was like over 40 years ago. God, me realizing I needed a Savior, Jesus. But also grace every day. For me and all my messiness, and you can talk to Sheila and Annie, and there's plenty of times on a regular basis where my mess comes out, and I need to humble my heart, fly to my brokenness, and receive grace. And never to excuse my behavior, but always to just keep humbling because I need it. I need it. I need to humble so I can receive grace. There's no grace flowing to us without humbling. So keep humbling. So if you want to fly to your brokenness, keep humbling. Keep humbling your heart. God will meet you there with his grace. Amen, right? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace as I keep humbling my heart. Because I mess up and I need your grace every day. Every day I need your grace. Second heart insight was this: we are being healed. And right around Christmas time, we were doing this series, The Uncommon King. I talked about the uncommon healer. Like Jesus, amazing, came, and through what he did, he healed. He healed. By his wounds, we are what? Healed. In salvation and every day, he wants to keep healing us. He wants to keep healing us. It's amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And I said this phrase, you know, kneel before our healer. So with brokenness, you fly to it. You fly to your brokenness. When it comes to healing, you keep kneeling before the healer. And I quoted Psalm 95. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we're the people of his pasture and the sheep under his care. So every day, not only humbling do we need, but we need to kneel. Now, I don't know about you. If you all knelt down on this hard floor, it wouldn't be long till you're like, let's get back in the cushy chairs, all right? It takes some real effort to kneel, number one, okay? And it's not always comfortable to kneel. It's not. Now, some kneeling, you can have cushions, or this carpet's kind of nice right here. But it takes effort to kneel. It takes real effort, but it's worth it. Why? Oh, kneel 95. So we have fly 51. Now we have kneel 95. Okay, Psalm 95. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord. Kneel 95. Fly 51. Say it after me. Fly 51. Kneel 95. Kneel 95. Yes, fly 51 to your brokenness. Kneel 95. Psalm 95 for healing. Why? Here's what I was getting to. There is no healing without kneeling. And I showed a video from the Chosen series of a leper who's like so distraught. He just falls to his knees like, please, Jesus, heal me. Please. And what does Jesus do? He approaches him, and the first thing he does, what does he do? He touches him. You don't touch lepers back then. All of his followers are like, stay back. They're like pulling out knives, like, stay back. This guy's sick. Jesus goes, and he touches him as he's kneeling. The guy's like weeping. It like brings tears to my eyes thinking about this, the image. If you haven't watched The Chosen, it's so worth it, watching it. But there's no healing without kneeling. And you see this leper who needed physical healing, kneeling, and Jesus comes right to him and meets him there. You know, last summer when I was at RCP, I was driving up to RCP. It's after I got that kind of my heart was out of rhythm. I'm driving up with Mark Johnson. He could tell you the story. And I'm like, Mark, I think we need to go to the hospital or an urgent care right now. Because I'm driving, I'm sitting there, and my heart's like, I mean, I'm like, what is going on in my heart? And I'm like, I'm just praying, and he was, and I'm like, where's that urgent care? Or like, do we go to an ER? I'm like, I don't know. I'm feeling really weird. So it kind of calmed a little bit. We get up to RCP. The first speaker speaks. He gives an invitation for people to come forward for prayer. No one comes forward. I'm standing there next to Sheila. I'm like, kind of tears start coming to my eyes. I'm like, I need to go forward because my heart is literally messed up. And I need healing, and God can heal. And we don't always see a whole bunch of healings, physical healings, but it happens, people. You go into more third world countries, it happens. Where there's people who believe in miracles, they happen. And I believe God healed me that day because I went forward, tears coming. I looked to Sheila, I'm like, I gotta go forward, Sheila, because I need help, because I'm speaking for the youth. I'm like, God, help me. I go forward. That was my kneeling. I'm like, Lord, I need you. This is uncomfortable. I'm the only person going forward. And I don't say this to like kind of make me so good or whatever. I was desperate. I'm like, I need to be healed, Lord. I have real responsibility here. I'm not feeling the best. So I go forward, tears running down my face, which a lot of happens. You know you're in a good spot to moving towards healing if the waterworks come out. Why is that? Because that's evidence. Evidence of you kneeling, you surrendering, you saying, God, I desperately need you. I need you, God. And I needed God there, and he showed up. And 2 days later, I was back to normal. I haven't had an issue with my heart being off out of rhythm since then. 2 days later, I was back to normal. I think God healed me. Because I surrendered. I knelt that night going forward. And so there's no healing without kneeling. So some of you may be thinking about this. Some of you may be needing kind of to surrender some area physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. I don't know. But my hunch is if you surrender and kind of move towards the Lord in a way that it feels like kneeling, which is like uncomfortable and like, I don't know, you ask someone to pray for you about something that you haven't yet, God's going to show up in some way. God is going to show up in some way. When you humble and surrender actively, he's going to show up. That's what he does. That's what he does. Now, it doesn't always look like we want it to look, right? Like Jaron hurt his knee playing football. He's like, pray for me so that I'm healed. And I'm like, well, God might heal you. But a lot of times he doesn't with injuries. Because actually he loves you so much, there's other things he wants you to learn. Like you got limits, little bro. And if you don't take care of yourself, like those of you who are biking, if you don't take care of yourself, right? You're not going to do as well. Or you might be injured, instead of taking a longer break, you push it too hard. That creates a worse injury. And if you're walking with the Lord around this with God, he might be like, hey, I'm working on your pride here, your arrogance, because when you have limits physically, you need to chill out. So if I healed you, that really wouldn't help you, right? If I healed that like that. God always has our best in mind. A lot of times he doesn't heal. Why? Because he has some better purpose. But he still heals a lot, even physically, when we ask him. Not all the time, a lot, not all the time. And that's hard. But if you're kneeling, if you're surrendering, there will be healing. There will be healing. And overall, I talked about this idea of moving from disease, to ease or peace. Like what Jesus wants from us more and more day in and day out, he wants us to be more and more people of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He came to offer peace. It's one of the greatest things he gives to us, and that will be restored fully in the end of times, is peace. Ah. No more anxiety, no more worry, no more conflict. Peace. That's what he wants for us. But there's no healing without kneeling or surrendering. So we fly to our brokenness. We kneel before our healer. We surrender. We fly through humility. We kneel through surrender. And so I just want to ask you, where do you need to kneel today? Where do you need to kneel? One aspect of your life, relationally, physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually even, where do you need to kneel? Some part of your life you're holding on to. You haven't surrendered. I haven't surrendered. Where do you need to kneel? That's a good question to ask, because Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to bring you peace. And he will if you kneel. He will if you kneel. The third insight, we move towards kind of the main focus of today's message, is this. We are becoming holy, whole, perfect, which we don't really like the term perfect in our culture, because I kind of bristle when I hear the word perfect. Be perfect because I'm perfect. Ugh, that's impossible, you know. Anyone relate to that? Yeah, it's like I have to like translate it a little bit to like get to, okay, what are you actually saying, Lord? Be holy, be whole, be perfect, be good, be more like me. Okay, I get that. Over time, more like you, more set apart, more good, more right, more loving. Yes. Okay, yes, I want that, Lord. I need that, Lord. Okay, that's where we're focusing today. And so the little invitation I have for you is this. If you want to become holy, you have to abide. Another word for that is remain. Another word for that is close or intimate connection. You have to abide in the Lord to become holy. You have to abide to become holy. Listen to Jesus' words in John 15 here. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in... I can hardly read this. It's the shadows. Here we go. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean. He's speaking to his disciples here, his followers who walked with him day in and day out for multiple years. He's talking to them. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So he's been speaking all this truth to them over and over and over again, just loving them, helping them. They're seeing all these miracles. It's like totally amazing. They think he is going to be the king of the nation. I'm like, this is an incredible, incredible experience for them. And he says, I've made you clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you, or abide in me and I will abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain or abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me or abide in me and I in you, you will, or it says, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. These are Jesus' words, John 15. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your words. He's telling us exactly what we need if we want to become holy, whole, perfect, mature, more loving, more like Jesus was when he was here. That's what we want. More like Jesus. Jesus tells us how. We have to abide. So we got fly 51, we got kneel 95, and now we have abide 15, or abide 1-5. I like 1-5 because it has the 15 in it, and it's verse 1 through 5. Okay, I like that. I thought that was creative too, anyways. Abide 1-5. Okay, so that's the movement. And here's where we end. This call to abide, John 15, it's central. What if this was the most treasured thing on our heart? I have to abide. I have to do whatever it takes to maintain my intimate, close connection in the vine as a branch. That's what I desperately need to become holy, whole, pure, right, good, loving. Why? Because there's no holiness without closeness in Christ. If you focused on this more than anything else the rest of your life, being as close as you could, the intimate connection with God, the Father, through Christ by His Spirit, I can't think of a better thing to do in this life if that's what you chose to do and kept doing. And I've been walking with God a long time, so I've been trying to do this a long time. In this season, which it's the Lord's perfect timing, I feel a re-engaged passion. I've got to get back to closeness with you, Lord. In the mystery of that, your Spirit here with me, it's a mystery. It's a mystery at times. But I've got to get back to that. Why? Because I know the only way I'm going to become more like you want me to be, more holy, is if I get back to this. There's no holiness without closeness, intimate connection in Christ. We got to get back to it. We got to get back to it day in and day out. This message made me think of these words from this little book by A.J. Gordon called In Christ. In Christ. I love this little book. I mean, you're not going to find this on kind of on Kindle, probably. I'd be surprised if it was. Or you're probably not going to find an audiobook for this, too, you know. I mean, it's right here if you're interested in reading it. You know, at one point, libraries existed. I got this out of my dad's library. I saw it on my dad's shelf in the library. I'm like, oh, what's that? Pulled it out, started reading it. I love what he says here. The language is a little more different. So hang in here with me as I read it. No words of Scripture, if we accept those God manifest in the flesh, which is the big word for that is incarnation. It's God coming down to earth in the flesh, Jesus. That's what he's talking about here. No words of Scripture, if we accept those God manifest in flesh, hold within them a deeper mystery than the simple formula of the Christian life in Christ. Why is that? Why would he say this? Why would he say that? Here's why he says that, right here. I'm going to read this, but you can read it with me. God does not work upon the soul, that's you and me, by itself, bringing to bear upon it, while yet in its alienation and isolation from him, such discipline as shall gradually render it fit to be reunited to him. The bottom line is, God doesn't act upon us in salvation or sanctification, changing us in any way with us being in alienation or isolation from him. He begins, rather, by uniting it, you and me, our souls, to himself, that through this union he may communicate to it the divine life and energy. Boy, doesn't that sound like the vine and the branches? Right? He'll communicate the divine life without which all discipline were utterly futile. I can work so hard, but if I'm a branch and I'm not connected to the vine, futile. Futility, right? Futility. He goes on to say this. The method of grace is precisely the reverse of the method of legalism or works righteousness. Doing all you can do, following the law, trying to be more loving, doing everything you can do to try to be a better person. That's what they mean by legalism, in order to get back to God, okay? The method of grace is precisely the reverse of the method of legalism. The latter, legalism, is holiness in order to union with God. The former, union with God in order to holiness. Thank you, A.J. Gordon, for summing it up just like that. We spend a whole lot of time. Is that an amen back there? Amen to that. We spend a whole lot of time working really hard to get better. Everyone does that. It's the nature of humanity, and actually, the part of that is just our sin. We still think we got to work harder. And we do have things to do. But what this is saying right here, what's most important, is union with God in order to holiness. Union with God, abiding in Christ in order to wholeness, holiness, perfection, love. That's why this is so important and why I felt compelled to call us back to that. Even though a lot of us have been walking with God for a long time, and some of us shortly, if you just focus on this, even if you've just started walking with God or you're thinking about this, Lord Jesus, what does it look like for me to be more intimately connected to you? Walking out, moving through my day, whatever I'm doing, boy, that's going to change your life. It's going to make your life better if you do. I love that little book. So good. So I've had this on the screen first, becoming holy in Christ. But as you see in the message of your title, that's not what I wrote, right? In the message. It's not becoming holy so that we're more and more in Christ. It's this. It's being in Christ so that we, day in and day out, keep becoming holy. Day in and day out, keep becoming holy. So that practice is this. It's literally closely abiding or intimately connecting, whatever that looks like, doing all you can to keep connecting back to God or being in Christ, closely abiding to become more holy, whole, pure, mature. And so I want to give you an image that's connected to Jesus' words in John 15 to help us do this. And as I give this image, I'm going to ask you to do something actually with your bodies. I want you to stand up and no, I'm just kidding. Don't stand up and dance. No, don't do that. But I want you to put your hands together either like this or if that. I was doing that and it felt a little uncomfortable because your fingers are like bony or weird. So either like that, you might feel comfortable with that or like this. I kind of felt a little more comfortable with this. And I want you to hold your hands together while I'm saying these next few words. While I'm saying these next few words. And I want you to look at that image. Because that image is a living image. It's why Jesus said what he did. Because his followers, they would know what this looks like. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you abide or remain in me, stay closely connected to me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. That's it. They would know exactly what he's talking about. Keep those hands together. Feel the closeness. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Close connection. Close connection. Now look at this. It's beautiful. Look at that. This is what we want. We don't want shriveled up fruit in our lives, right? This is what we desire. This is a living image of wholeness, holiness. Even you could say perfection, even with the brown leaves. It doesn't totally, the leaves are browning. How could this be perfect? Well, maybe we need to expand our view of what perfection is according to the Lord, you know? What if this was our vision? This is what we long for. Just more fruit in our lives, more righteousness, peace, and joy. Love, joy, peace in the Spirit. More of that, Lord. Yes, I want that. I want that, Lord. Keep those hands together. Closeness. Closeness. What does that look like for me to keep coming back to closeness with you, Lord, day in and day out? How can I get that? How can I move more towards that more? What do I need to do a little bit differently to get to that. What does that look like? Closeness in Christ. And so, as the worship team comes forward, and I'm going to kind of wrap up here, let this message be one more really clear invitation to return to what we need most, which is intimate connection on a day in and day out basis with God through Christ by His Spirit. That in Christ reality, that's what we need. Can you go back to the slides just real quick as I'm wrapping this up? This is what we need. Hold on to that image. Do you want fruit in your life that's so good it almost seems perfect? It's just the right kind of love, goodness, kindness, loving your enemies, praying for those who persecute you. Yes. And what the message of today is like, how do you maintain that closeness? And in one sense, I've kind of given you a way to keep doing it day in and day out. And this is it. If you fly to your brokenness and kneel before the healer every day, if you're humbling yourself, you're surrendering, and then you do all you can, as best as you can, every day to keep remaining in the Lord, I think that's going to produce fruit. Actively humbling, daily surrendering, closely abiding, you keep coming back to that. I sincerely believe that's going to produce good fruit. So as we sing this song is Jesus Be the Center. I want to invite you to just reflect, okay, Lord, a lot's been said here. I've heard a lot here. But what would it look like for me to use this song and this reflection to come back to this idea of just closely abiding in you? Intimate connection. That's mysterious because I'm in you, Jesus. And how is that the case with your Spirit? I mean, it's a mystery and it's a reality. What does it look like for you and me today to refocus there? And so let this song be an invitation. Let it be an invitation, just refocus there, and then we'll stand and be dismissed for today. So sing along if you'd like, or just be reflective. Hold your hands together. Lord, how could I be a little closer to you? What would that look like? In this season, I've walked with you for 50 years, or 50 days, or 5 days. How can I be a little closer? What might that look like, Lord? So let's sing this song, or listen to this song. Just let your attention go there.
Center.
So as you go today, may this message, this truth rest upon you in a way that you can't shake. May it stay with you all throughout this day, even this week, in this season. And the fruit of that truth staying with you is God's character, his holiness, produced in you. So may you stay close. May you keep abiding. Whatever that looks like for you in this season, in a way that honors your own heart, your healing, and the Lord. So, Lord, thank you for this day. May your blessing go with these people as they move from this place. And may your healing and wholeness, your fruit, the fruit of connection with you, come to us even more this week, this day. Come, Lord Jesus, bless us as we go. In your name, amen. Bless you all.